that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. They that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he's proud, knowing nothing, but dotting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that'll be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they've erred from the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, I come before you again tonight, Lord. I thank you, God, for the blessings of this day, Lord. I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the shed blood on Calvary. God, I plead that blood just now, God, for my faults and my failures, Lord. God, I ask you, Lord, to cleanse me from within, Lord. Use me, God, in these minutes, God, to proclaim your truths, Lord. And I pray, God, you'd get glory and get honor from all that's said and done in this place tonight. We love you and ask your blessings in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. The pastoral epistles, you've all probably heard of that saying before. This is one of them. They were designed to exhort and encourage young Timothy here, as he addresses him specifically, to keep an oversight of the church that he would be overseeing there. A young man, Paul, was getting on up in years, and he would soon be leaving out, and it was his desire to have the church to go forward and to grow and to be strengthened. And, you know, it ought to be our desire as adults to come to the house of God and to set an example before our young people and to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord at this place. And one of these days, if time goes on, the Lord doesn't come and we leave out of here before Him, I hope and pray to God that we'll raise up a generation to take our place at the house of God that'll stand in the old paths, that'll keep the fire of God burning down at the house of God. Because I tell you what the truth is, brethren, there's been a lot of places that's gone downhill that used to be on fire for God. There's been a lot of old churches I know of that I thought would still be a standing in this day for him, but they've fallen by the wayside for him because there's been some folks that's let their guard down and they've let the devil come in and just take over the house of God. I hope and pray to God that what we've labored for and what we've prayed over and what we've sweated for and what we put our tithes into here, I hope and pray to God that we'll raise up a generation to take our place one day that'll keep it a-going. Yeah, man. Well, listen to me tonight. I want to preach out of these few verses right here that I just read tonight, looking down in verse number 14, he said that thou keep the commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, listen now, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. We live in a day of a lot of religion. You know that? There's a lot of religion throughout the world today, but ain't many folks that's professing that Jesus is Lord of lords and King of kings today. Matter of fact, most folks that profess him as their Lord today are ridiculed and mocked for him. But I'm glad today that I can stand before you and say that he come to me first Sunday morning in March of 1974 and he saved my soul from a devil's hell. He is the only way today. He's the way, the truth, and the life today. If anybody makes it to heaven in this world today, it'll be through him. And I want to preach on this thought tonight, taking a text out of verse 15 where he says, which in his times he'll show. And I'm going to preach tonight on this thought. When he shows up, he's going to show out. Amen. This world don't like him today. This world don't like me and you today. But friend, let me tell you, that don't delete him one bit as from his position today as Lord of lords and King of kings. But I want to cover about three or four things right here in this passage right here as he was talking to this young preacher. And let me tell you that we're all servants, ain't we? We're supposed to be serving the Lord. We're supposed to be have Him on the throne of our hearts tonight, letting Him use us as we journey through this way, if we're saved by the good grace of God tonight. And there's some things in this passage right here. He gave some words of caution right here to young Timothy. And also these words of caution apply to you and me in the day in which we live. Caution. Let me tell you, when he shows up one of these days, we're going to see who's heeded his words of caution. Well, let me tell you, the secret things is going to be brought to light one of these days. He's going to see us, and we're going to see, friend, where we've stuck to these words or where we've failed him. Amen? Some words of caution right here. Let's back up to verse number 3 right here. There's some words of caution right here about consenting. Consenting. He said, if any man teach otherwise, then consent not to wholesome words. Well, what's he saying right here? There's a lot of folks in the world today that's teaching false doctrine. Amen? But these wholesome words are sound. They're sensible. They're strong words. They're words that'll stand when this world is burnt to a cinder, because he said even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. If you study in Paul's writings right here in 1 Timothy right here, he mentions the word doctrine many, many times. Can I tell you today, it's very essential that we know what we believe in. Amen. We got Baptists on our sign out front out here. Let me tell you, there's a lot of so-called churches today that they hadn't got any particular beliefs or any particular denomination on their sign. It's just come on, one, come all, just everything's all right, everything, just you just believe what you want to and everything's going to be all right. It don't work that way, friend. There's been false teachers and false doctrines from way back in Paul's day right here. And he gives a word of caution right here. He says, you better not consent to that bunch of false junk. You better believe they out there in the day in which we live. False doctrine. False teachers. They are everywhere today, friend. And let me tell you something. You better get yourself a good copy of the Word of God. I'm talking about a good King James Bible. You better study it. And know when a man, a so-called man of God gets in a pulpit and what he's a preaching, you better know when to say amen, or you better know when to tell him to shut up. Because there's plenty of false teachers teaching false doctrine, and they'll lead you, they'll lead your children astray. Let me tell you something, friend. The Bible teaches me that the devil has disguised himself as an angel of light. Let me tell you, there's a lot of devils in pulpits.
teaching false junk, deceiving and leading people off into a devil's hell. We're living in that day. Consenting to the words of man or the words of Christ. You better watch, man. You better watch man if his words don't line up with this book right here. Amen. The words of Christ, the words of God. Man will lie to you and deceive you. And there's plenty of them being used by the devil today. A caution about consenting. And then he goes on, there's a caution about corruption right here. He says, he's proud. In verse 4, he is proud. He's talking about this deceiver, this one that's teaching false doctrine. It says he's proud, knowing nothing, but dotting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil, surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. Listen to me, friend. There's a lot of mega churches in this country of ours. Mega churches. You know you can build a mega church on false doctrine. You know how you do it? You just come in with a little feel-good sermonette message. Just smooth everybody over real good. You know, you don't have any conviction. Just come as you are, loaded down with your sins, and we're not going to preach anything to offend anybody. We're going to do everything we can to keep from convicting you of your sins. You know what you can do? You can build a mega church on that kind of junk. I can point you to some tonight. I can point you to what the biggest church in this country right here. In this country, the biggest church has got a man that got on national TV, and he would not dogmatically say that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. This book right here says he is the way. He is the only way. It's through his blood. If a person makes it to heaven, it'll be through him. But this guy, when he gets up and so-called preaches his little sermonettes, it's all little feel-good stuff. I tell you, it's a sickening thing. He's leading multitudes of people to a devil's hell. Oh, listen to me. Paul says right here, you better not consent to those kind of teachers. They're corrupt. They're destitute of the truth, friend. And there's a caution given to you and me right here about this kind of people, friend. Over in chapter number 4, verse number 1, the Bible says the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The latter time, we're there. Seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. It didn't say, notice right here, he didn't say that they would depart from the church, but rather they depart from the faith. Listen to me, leading to compromise and corruption in the church. And that's where a lot of churches have gone to today. They've let the devil come in, the doctrines of devils, seducing spirits. And the churches have gone, followed the corrupt, they've compromised and they've corrupted, they've departed the true faith of God. Paul says you better guard against that. Let me tell you something, friend. You think the devil hadn't got his sights set on Liberty Baptist Church? You better wake up. We got a fight to fight. We got a battle to fight to keep this thing on the right track. Well, listen to me. The cautions of consenting, the cautions of corruption, friend. Jude, over in Jude, the little book of Jude, look at this, what Jude said way, way back. In verse number 4, he says, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God unto lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Devil's got his troops working. And you know what the devil will do? He may not come up and offer you a Budweiser. He may not come up and offer you a joint of marijuana. But you know what he'll do? He'll come join your church. Oh, he'll be the sweetest thing that ever set foot in your church.
crept in unawares, he says. He starts working his way in, gaining respect of people. First thing you know, he starts to slip in his false doctrines, his false teachings, the ways of the devil, friend. He's clever. He's clever. Go all the way back. Look what he did to Eve. He's sly. He knows how to work people. So we better be on guard.
Well, but then he goes on now. Not only cautions about consenting and corruption, but about contentment. We live in a materialistic age. Don't we? Somehow we've been taught that if we're not monetarily successful in life, that we're a failure. That's a lie. That's a lie. You ain't got to be rich to be happy. But you can be happy and be rich in the things of God. Let me tell you something, friend. There's some words right here. He says, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. There's a lot of preachers that will fill pulpits today and say, well, you send me a $1,000 of seed money. Seed money. Boy, God is going to, He's going to multiply it 100 times back to you. And there's people that will send them money. There's all kind of junk going on. And what's amazing to me, so many people fall for it. Listen to me, friend. Withdraw yourself from them kind of people. Because he goes on and says this, but godliness with contentment is great gain. He didn't say money with contentment's great gain, but godliness. You see, friend, your money can only go so far with you. Let me tell you something. When you come down to the end of the way, God ain't impressed with how much money you got in the bank. He ain't going to pat you on the back and say, boy, you've done well. You got a bunch of money set up. Boy, you're leaving you a bunch of money for your kids. He ain't impressed with that. Not at all. Matter of fact, when it comes your time, your money ain't going to buy you one more heartbeat. Won't buy you one more breath. But godliness is great gain. Contentment. Boy, we live in an uncontent time. And it's been ingrained in our minds that we've got to be successful in the things of the world. False. God's more interested in our success in spiritual things. Amen? There ain't nothing wrong with having a good job and making good money. But you got to have it in the right perspective. Amen. The contentment, verse 6 and 8. Then he speaks about a caution about coveting in verse 9 and 10. He says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare to many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. There is something about being rich there that a lot of folks just can't handle it. Money will take you away from the house of God. You got money. We don't even go there. He just said that you'll fall into temptation and a snare. If riches is your goal in life, if that's what your mind's consumed with, boy, you're a good candidate for the devil to take to destruction. Amen. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they've erred from the faith, pierce themselves through with many sorrows. The Bible says over in 2 Timothy about there was a man that really was one of Paul's faithful servants. I mean, to be mentioned in the Word of God, to have your name mentioned, to be a running with the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest preachers that there ever was. And then to have to fall over in 2 Timothy over there and have Paul to say, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. You see what happened to him? He fell into that snare. That snare. You see, when you serve God, He don't pay off in silver and gold. But there is a payday. There's blessings, friend, that silver and gold can't buy. Amen. To know you've got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, to have fellowship with him, to be able to go into his presence and talk to him and to pour your heart out to him and to know he cares for you and to know he hears you and to know he said, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. He's an ever-present help in a time of trouble, friend. Hey, let me tell you, silver and gold can't buy that. Pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Not only the cautions of consenting, corruption, contentment, coveting, but a caution about a commitment. In verse 20, he says, Oh, Timothy! Oh, Brother Adam! Oh, Brother Jerry! Oh, listen to me, child of God, tonight. Keep that which is committed to thy trust. Look what God has committed to mine and your trust tonight. Look what He's done for us right here on this hillside right here. We started meeting in homes because we wanted something better than what was going on down at the old dead church. And God has given us the desires of our heart. He's committed so much to our trust. He's took just a handful of three or four, five families, friend, and He's filled up this big house right here with people that want something that's alive, friend. Look what God has committed to mine and your trust, friend. We better know He's going to hold us accountable for it. For our part. For our play. Let me tell you something, friend. This ain't just Brother Ken Bowman's responsibility. Each one of us is a child of God, friend. We're responsible to keep this thing together, to fight against the wiles of the devil, friend, to raise these kids around here in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to train them to keep this thing going where God wants it to go. The cautions, not only that, but look, the commands, secondly tonight, the commands. Let's look up here in verse number 11. He said, But thou, O man of God, flee these things, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Now look at the commands here in verse number 12. He says, Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou hast also, where thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession, before many witnesses. I want you to notice right here, there's a command he says right here to flee. Flee. Now listen, we're not to be ignorant of the Word of God. We're not to be ignorant of the wiles of the devil, friend. He just told us some things right here that we better be watching out for. False teachers, false doctrine. The snares of the things of this world, the materialism and the things that's going on in our lives today. Friend, he said we didn't bring nothing into this world and we sure ain't a carrying nothing out. And there's some things he says to flee right here. He told this young man, now the things that I just laid out for you, boy, you better run from them. Run from them. What was he saying? You don't compromise. You don't negotiate on those things. Somebody starts teaching you something that's false, that don't line up with this Bible, you don't compromise with them. You flee. Flee. Get. You either get or you tell him to get. If he comes to the house of God, this is our ground right here. He's the one that's going to get. Amen? Flee. Flee. And then he says to follow. What are we going to follow right here? He says, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Over in 2 Timothy, he told young Timothy to flee youthful lust. And he told him some things over there to follow after. You know, let's look at that right here just a minute. In 2 Timothy, chapter number 2. I want us to read this. Verse number 19. He says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor, some to dishonor." You better watch out how you use your vessel. "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Notice what he said in verse number 22 right here. I'm talking about following. He said, "with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Makes a difference who you're running with. Now, if you're going to run with the people that's going in the wrong direction, you're headed for trouble. But if you're running with people, friend, that's following all these things that Paul has laid out, righteousness, faith, charity, peace, pure heart, you're heading in the right direction. There's strength in numbers. We're all supposed to be going in the same direction, ain't we? Amen. Commands. When he shows up, he's going to show who's followed his commands. Fleeing, following, but he also says fighting. He ain't talking about no fist fight. Now, if it come down to a fist fight, we could probably put up a pretty good team here. But that ain't what he's talking about. He said to fight the good fight of faith. It's a spiritual battle, a spiritual warfare. And if young Timothy and you and I are going to fight a good fight of faith as we journey through this life, friend, we've got to apply the Word of God to our life. Paul said in Ephesians to put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He said, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the devils that's in this world." And it's a spiritual warfare, friend. And if we're going to fight a good fight, then we better be prepared spiritually in our life. And if you're not prepared spiritually, guess who's going to whoop you? The devil. He's going to get you just like that. You cannot stand against him unless you're prepared spiritually for that battle. Look back in Jude, in the little book of Jude again. Notice what he said in verse 3. "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the coming salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and, listen, exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints." God has, listen, hey, this is our time to fight. This is our battle. As long as we have life and breath, God has put us in the battle. There's a battle to be fought every day. Listen, we fight against this flesh. We fight against the foe, friend. We fight against the darkness and things of this world, friend. And let me tell you something. You can be taken into it if you're not careful. Why we need to be filled with the Spirit, filled with the Holy Ghost every day, friend. Let me tell you something, boy. The devil's coming after you and me. There's no neutral ground here. We're in a warfare. Paul came down to his last days. He said, "I've fought a good fight." Now he's telling this young preacher, fight, fight. Over in 2 Timothy, he says, "Endure hardness as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ." Sounds to me like we got a war going on. If we don't get in this thing and apply our lives to it, we're going to be in a mess. Our kids will be in a mess one of these days. When He shows up, He's going to show who's heeded His cautions, who's held His commands. But lastly, I want you to see this. He's going to show who the commander in chief is of this whole thing. It ain't Muhammad. There's billions in this world being deceived, believing a lie. A lot of different religions in this world. But He just throwed something in right here. Seems almost like it's out of place, but He said you keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know when we're going to get discharged from this war? When He appears. Or when He calls us out. You don't just join up for a couple of years. Amen. We in this thing. Thank God one of these days there's a graduation day coming one of these days. So, the battle's going to end one day and the smoke's going to clear. Notice right here about this commander-in-chief right here. Over in verse number 14, I just read it, in verse number 15, says, which in His times He shall show who is the blessed and only potentate. Oh, you see what that says, only right there? Hey, I'm glad He put that word in my Bible. I don't put my trust in anybody else. I don't trust in the Quran and what Muhammad says that an angel gave him. I'm trusting in what Jesus gave me. He's the way. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Hey, let me tell you. Notice, friend, in verse number 15, his position. He's going to show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Now listen to me. No, there's a lot of kings that's come through this old world in times past, and maybe some in countries today, friend, but there's a King of all kings, and there's a Lord of all lords, friend. And hey, let me tell you, He hadn't resigned His position, and He ain't got voted out, friend. He's still Lord of lords and King of kings. He always has been. He always will be. Matter of fact, over in Revelation chapter number 6, it says the kings of the earth and the mighty men, and they're going to run to the caves and the mountains one of these days, and they're going to cry for the rocks to fall on them and hide them from His face. Those who've exalted themselves mocked Him. But the wrath of the Lamb is coming upon them one of these days. Oh, and He's going to show His position, friend. It has not changed, and it will not change. His position, His power, the only potentate. The only potentate. You know what Jesus said? He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. You want somebody on your side that can help you in any situation that you're faced with in life, friend? You want somebody that can help you win your battles? You want somebody that can help you get you over your mountains, friend? You want somebody that can help get you out of the valley, friend? He's got all power in heaven and earth. He is the only potentate. Power. He is the power. Not only His power, friend, but notice His promise. Verse 16. He says, who only hath immortality, dwelling in light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Notice His promise right here, friend. I see a promise of life right here. who only hath immortality, friend. And He's given us that immortality, friend. He's given us life eternal, friend, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no other way under heaven, friend, that we could have life without knowing the life giver tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, His promise is life. He's alive, friend. Over in Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 8, He said, I'm He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of death and of hell. I'm glad He's locked me out of death. He's locked me out of hell. I can't go to hell. Thank God tonight, friend. Hey, He said, and if I live and believe in Him, I'll never die. One of these days, I'll just exit this old body. And I'll enter into His presence by the good grace of God. Oh, He's life. He's light. Says He dwells in the light. But He says, which no man can approach. I can't see Him face to face now. But you know what I can do? He's given me and you a throne of grace. We can go into His very presence, fall on our face. We can talk to Him just like He's right there in front of us, friend. And you know what the blessing is? He hears. Because the Bible says it's there at the throne of grace we can obtain mercy and find grace to help us in a time of need. He dwells in the light which no man can approach. Let me tell you, friend, a child of God can approach Him through the throne of grace, but this world can't approach Him. The only way they can approach Him is through the blood, crying out for mercy and salvation. But I'm glad, thank God tonight, that He's He'll never forsake me. He'll never leave me. I'll never have to say, where's God at? I'll never have to say, Lord, where'd you go? Where are you at? He's here. He said, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. He's life. He's light. He's Lord. One of these days, He's going to do just exactly like He said. He's going to appear. He's going to take this world by surprise. Probably going to take me and you by surprise. Maybe morning, maybe night, maybe midnight, maybe 2 o'clock in the morning. But I guarantee you one thing. I can guarantee you this. He's coming. He's coming. Because He's never failed in one word of this Bible right here. He's alive. His promises are sure. He's coming again. We better be working. We better be warring, fighting this good fight. When He shows up, He's going to show out. And I don't want to be ashamed that He's appearing to you. He's going to show who's been faithful, who's been a failure. Amen. Stand with me.